we live on Facebook again or what?
Nope. Not for... I think we've got 9 more days.
No, we're not recording next week, right?
You know, we said we weren't. And maybe we won't, but it's also 420. So...
Well, what do you want to do? Requiem for a Dream or...
Ooh, that's different.
Yes.
Oh. You know, I showed that in summer classes for my students, right? We watched Fear and Loathing Las Vegas and then Requiem for a Dream. So like drugs are good, drugs are bad, sort of like balance it out.
Sure.
But I had inadvertently just picked up a DVD at Half Price Books, and it was the Walmart version of Requiem for a Dream, which is rated R. And that's the bit it cuts out. It cuts out the ass to ass consequence. And so her story doesn't seem that bad. She goes to a party. Some guy laughs and then it cuts to the next scene.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not as bad. Mm-hmm. Mm. Well.
I was disappointed. My students didn't get to see the real version.
Yeah. Yeah. So are we going to talk about your project yet, Mitch, or should we hold off until it's more real? I mean, I'm of the mind we talk about it all the way up to and through, and
sure, like,
I'm all for pimping shit. So,
oh yay, yeah, we can talk about it.
Yeah, so like, what's the deal? What do you got going on?
Yeah, so like, in the past, I've made movies with some friends for the 48-hour film festival when it comes through.
Sure,
and other little things. There was a film festival at the Science Center, and I wrote and starred in a movie for that got Best Sci-Fi and the Staff Choice. So I'm like, huh, great. It was called Ship's Log. And nice. So another film group here in St. Louis, Bug Juice Productions, they approached me like, hey, we want to do this project. Are you and some of the guys from your group in? And we're like, yeah, sure. And so we've been putting it together. Pandemic sort of slowed us down, but it's this, it's called Althea's Pendant, and it's a movie set in ancient Greece and a story of like Apollo and this mortal woman that he is in love with. And Dionysus is like, nah, I don't think, you know, you should do this whole love thing with mortals, and like gets involved in the process. So it's, nice. I don't know. It's fun. We got a Kickstarter launch coming up on Friday.
Oh, cool.
Which will have the teaser trailer that we made for it.
Yeah, so this absolutely should be talking about it now if the Kickstarter's just about to kick in.
Yeah.
I've seen you in a sick toga.
That toga is pretty sick, yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, it's we've had some discussions about it.
How long is the Kickstarter last then, running?
A month. So like 30 days, I guess.
Okay, cool. So we have more opportunities to chat about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah. It's neat. Our friend Jess wrote the movie, and like the script got an award at a screenwriting, you know, festival and competition. Wonderful. And like we've been able to like book location shoots, so we're going to be shooting down in Washington, Missouri, to get some like waterfall and beach scenes, and then we're going to Tennessee to shoot at the Parthenon that is there.
Yeah,
and then we're going to shoot in the Central Library for some scenes here in St. Louis. We got like a whole crew, like with wardrobe and hair and makeup and actors.
Excellent. Excellent.
The guy playing Apollo is a pro wrestler. So, you know, stuff.
Perfect.
And I just had to go, you know, do some rehearsal with the fight choreographer. And I am not a pro wrestler or an amateur wrestler or coordinated. So like my skills in this fight scene are very limited. And it was kind of great. Like he's like walking through the stuff and like, I'm supposed to bear hug this other guy. And so like I do it and he says, oh, okay, on three. And I'm like, on three what? And he's like, one, two, three. And he jumps up. Like, I guess to make it look like I'm lifting him up. And he does this thing that like, I guess is a pro wrestling thing. He put his knees like in my thighs, like at my hip. Mm-hmm. Right? So like I could like brace him with my legs, but I did not know that that was what was happening. So like when he did that, I like threw him away from me and backed up, knocking him to the ground. I'm like, oh, and like, you know, I apologized and everything because I felt really bad that this is what's going on. But like we hadn't communicated that that was what was happening. It was just seemed normal to him. It was chaos to me.
So what's your role in this story?
Oh, so I'm one of the producers, and I'm playing Dionysus.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So we have a god in our midst.
Yeah. Right. One of our Kickstarter rewards is you can get an add-on to have Dionysus rewrite your dating profile.
Oh, brilliant.
Right.
That's fantastic.
We'll see if I can come up with some people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
So, cool. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Yeah. So next week when we talk, the trailer will be like, or teaser, I guess is a better term, out on YouTube. We could like link to and stuff. Right now, if people wanted to like check it out, we got a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/APfilm, like for Althea's Pendant Film, AP Film.
Sure. Uh-huh. Wonderful. Yeah. I saw that. I'm actually like, I liked it, so I can kind of keep up with it and follow it.
Oh yeah. Yay. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe, who knows, maybe we'll do something fun, like do a toga cast or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, find a theme-appropriate movie to discuss. And
I mean, I don't know if they've ever made movies about ancient Greece. Perhaps they have.
Maybe once or twice. Do a little Clash of the Titans? Or
oh, boy. That's a good one.
Well, good's a tricky word. In that context,
hold on. We would go that over Caligula.
Find it.
I'll find it, Tony.
All right.
I have Super Hornio Brothers.
You do have Super Hornio Brothers.
That's I have great. Both of them.
Yep.
I'll find it. I've watched them. That was gross.
Super Hornio Brothers 2. Was it like a direct sequel, or is it just some other thing that they like retitled and like made it about Mario?
No, I think it's legit. Okay. I mean, I don't know what I mean by legit, I guess. Boy,
we're very loosely using words here.
Yeah. Speaking of Caligula, I watched some Hulu documentary about sex and film.
Mm.
And it's maybe the only documentary I think I've watched in the last 10 to 15 years because I dislike them. But Malcolm McDowell is on there, and he's like, there was a lot of shit that went down in Caligula that I just did not know was going to be in there. So like in one scene, I make this expression and then it cuts away to this naked woman and then back to me and I've got this look on my face. So what happened there is someone brought a full-sized falcon on set and then I saw the falcon and I got really excited and I did not know they were going to cut a naked woman in the middle.
That's brilliant. A good director gets your actors to work no matter how you're getting them, I guess. Wow.
That's wild.
All right.
We actually are going to have animals in the movie. We got an animal wrangler.
Nice.
So we're going to have a 15-foot python and a hawk.
Are all of the animals Zeus?
I think I'm the snake.
Very nice.
But yeah. They have to get a 15-foot because you're so tall.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's an issue with the fans in my house, Tony.
Oh?
Yeah, they're like Mitch height.
Oh.
I have that trouble everywhere.
How tall are you, Mitch?
Oh, I'm 6'6".
Oh, yeah.
And then when you're up here, you don't really count the fractions anymore.
Yeah.
It's a larger Sam and Chibi.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so there's like photos of me at Disney World with Chewbacca and like we're eye to eye. It's it's one of those things like in class my students are all sitting down generally and I'm standing up. So they really have no like sense of scale until they come up to ask me a question. And so I really like it. Like as they're approaching, I take a step closer to them and I see them like, oh no.
Oh no.
And then here in my new place, there's not a table yet under a hanging light fixture, a chandelier or something, mm-hmm. I guess. And
oh,
normally like, so this is always a problem for me, like everywhere. Cause sprinkler systems can hit me in the head. Right. Wow. Places. So like, I am always on the lookout for stuff. So I don't run into this, but all the shorts who are around me, keep bumping into it.
The shorts.
Because they aren't used to having to watch out for that kind of thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So.
Happens. Yeah. I've had to, we've moved a table every once in a while, get it out of the way, or while we're waiting for one to come in or something. It's like having to duck around the low-hanging chandeliers because I'm not used to that. Mm-hmm. Or just fucking walking into it because I forget.
You should call Sia. Mm. I had that problem last night. We were moving my parents, and they moved all their tables out from underneath the various fixtures. God damn it, Mom.
Yep. All right. let's get this going, unless you got something else going on?
Nope.
All right.
Nowhere on here does it give you the links to the things that are being streamed.
What are you referring to?
The URL for Twitch and... those are just the channel links.
Oh, for this?
Yeah, there isn't a specific one, is there?
I don't know if you have the same view that I do. Since you are you're now like a team member,
just a team member.
Do you have a bar across the top that has like edit and the icons for? Okay. Ooh. Well, I guess I will just add these in. Hang on one second. I will do that in our little.
Yeah, let's. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's not
really comment thing here. I mean, you know, we're all live and stuff, so whatevs. Private chat. Here we go. Oh, you got the YouTube. Mitch found it. And the Twitch is just twitch.tv/backseatproducers, but I will get that also.
I think there's something wrong with my keyboard and I don't know what it is.
There they are. Both of those are in the private chat that are just for the hosts.
Because it will not type certain letters, but the letter changes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So like Y and K.
It sounds like almost like you have an alternate language keyboard thing going on.
I got ghosts.
Oh.
So I'm doing Duolingo, and I'm doing German. And at some point on the Android app a month or two ago, they switched it. So when you're actually typing and you are meant to be typing in the German language, they switch you to a German keyboard. Which is great until all of a sudden I'm getting misspellings because apparently the QWERTY keyboard for German swaps the Y and the Z. They are just swapped, just swapped. So, you know, I'm typing the word for cat, which is K-A-T-Z-E, and it's K-A-T-Y-E. And I'm like, what is going on? Why do I keep getting misspellings? And I started actually paying attention. It was like, wait, that's not where the Y normally is it? Why is the Z over there? I don't understand. And then I realized that, yeah, they fully just turn on the German keyboard for you while you're using it, which at first was kind of a pain in the ass, but then like as I'm typing,
of a pain in the ass.
No, it actually works well because you long press on things to get the, you know, to get your like umlauts and things like that. Your, you know, the alternate character for that keystroke, which is great because now on the German keyboard, when you long press on it, the default is just the umlauted letter, which used to always be a pain in the ass for the English keyboard. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Esperanto has a keyboard like that too, which is great. And I use Duolingo for that purpose. Although for like, David, your original problem, remind me when I used to work IT at a hospital and one of our dispatchers, I had swapped the N and the M key on her keyboard and then also remapped the keys in the operating system. So it actually worked like that. Sure. And so she had problems for like a week or two and then like had fixed it until she went to any other computer that it didn't work. It was the prank that lasted so long.
Oh my God. That's so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I did back in the early aughts, I worked at Bank of America and me and another guy, we used to prank each other. And for a while there was a little startup. You'd run a little startup app that would randomly change the pointer icon from a finger to a finger.
Nice.
So I set that up in his startup. It took him about a week to realize. He's like, what's going on? What the hell is this?
Oh, classic.
The old Win 95 shutdown, you went through the shutdown process, and then it gave you a screen that said it's now safe to turn off your computer, because you couldn't just physically power off a machine. You had to wait for it to do a shutdown, then you could physically power off the machine. So I took that, because that's just an image. It's just a JPEG image. So I took that JPEG image, put it into Paint, and took the W out of now and put a T in there. So it said, so it came up and said, it is not safe to turn off your computer.
Oh, fun.
Oh, we did so many things like that. Change the home screen to other people's faces, and
mm-hmm. yeah, the you screenshot the desktop and make it the yep. background and then delete yep. the icons. Yeah.
Oh, classic. Yeah. Yeah. For a while there, we had the Wazoo virus going around, and it had made its way into a Microsoft Word virus that sets itself up in the Word template.
Mm.
So if you're using a file, it's fine, but if you create a new file, it infects that new file, and it just randomly puts the word Wazoo in the document, just randomly, which I didn't realize I had, that one of my floppy disks had been infected with it until I was giving somebody a final written warning. And I'm sitting there going,
no.
And I'm reading the paper and going, all right, so this warning says, you know what, I'm going to have to print you a new one. Yeah.
Oh no.
Because just randomly was like, you've been not, 10 times in the last 12 months you have been Wazoo, and it was like, wait a minute. Yeah, we can't use this document.
All right, let's talk about this goddamn movie.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Mitch.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers. And tonight we're gonna talk about Licorice Pizza.
Yum. Mm-hmm.
Mitch, what did you think of the movie?
Oh, I liked it at about an 80% level. So there's lots I liked about the movie, but everything I liked was also poison. So yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. David, what did you think?
There's this dude in town, David Wraith, and I've known this dude for like 5 years. Okay. This dude never remembers my name, and like midway through the time that I've known him, like we're not close, but like midway through the time that I've known him, he knows that he should remember my name, but also can't, and so then that became a thing, and I think it's hilarious. But he's also Libby's stepfather, so so now he remembers my name, and it's very disappointing, and Libby has ruined this for me. Anyway, he recommended this movie to me in exchange for me recommending Bad Education to him, and I feel like he's going to get the better end of that deal, but I did not enjoy this movie.
Paul Thomas Anderson movies, I run at about 30-70 like to dislike, and this movie falls right in there. There were things I liked about it, but as a whole, I did not enjoy the entirety of the film. Like there were bits of it that I really enjoyed, but I can't say that I liked the movie just as a whole. And as one of the few movies in the last couple of years that I've actually had to rent for the podcast, I'm disappointed that I had to pay extra money to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, technically I pay for all of them because we're paying for streaming services, but like I specifically had to pay extra money for this one, and it wasn't for me. I can see why people would like it, but it's not for me. And that's, I mean, I know that I feel that way about a lot of PTA movies.
There is a analysis of what makes The Secret of Monkey Island one of the greatest games ever made. And the first thing that the guy does in the analysis is establish theme. And he uses a very specific line of dialogue from a guy dressed as a troll guarding a bridge. And to solve the puzzle, the dude tells you I want something that will attract attention but have no real importance.
Ooh, wow. Huh. That is this movie.
Yes. It wow. is also The Secret of Monkey Island, and the solution to that puzzle is you give him a red herring.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. That's really good.
Mitch, I'll link you this breakdown video because it's very good.
Oh, love it. I loved Monkey Island. It's the best.
That is exactly how I felt about this movie. Like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, there's a lot of nifty stuff with like the nature of power dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Like power dynamics, but like it's a recurrent theme throughout the entire movie, but only as a noun, never as a verb to actually do anything with it. Like, it exists inside the movie, but the movie has nothing to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Which is baffling to me.
I think, so there was lots of things that were going on in that movie, and I'm watching it, and I'm watching a scene, and I'm kind of enjoying what's going on because, you know, we've got some good actors and good cinematography. And so I'm like going with them. And then a piece of it will just be awful and mm-hmm. awkward, or will slap me in the face with its racism or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, ouch. And like it happened again and again. And I kind of feel like maybe that was like what they were going for, was just to be, I don't know, a drop of poison in the whole thing.
I think the only thing I got out of it, like as a whole, and you kind of have to see like holistically take a step back from the movie. And it's that this movie is nostalgia
mm-hmm.
and this nostalgia that you're looking for sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to pleasantly remember these times, but at the same time, I'm going to, you know, stick my finger in your eye while you're weeping over your nostalgia. Like it's like, oh, I remember how great those old 70s Japanese restaurants are. And then, oh my God, they're so incredibly racist. Mm-hmm. That point when he held that thing and turned to his second wife and just spoke just terrible Japanese accented English as if he's speaking Japanese.
What'd you say? Oh, I don't speak Japanese.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's what I'm saying. Like, and it's like it slapped me in the face with the racism.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, it's like, yeah, that's kind of how it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and
bad.
Like in that sort of first scene with John Michael Higgins and the waitress from Always Sunny, it's kind of like a nice thing. Like he is an American man. He's got a Japanese wife. He seems to really enjoy Japanese culture. He's hired this kid and his mom to do PR for the restaurant. They're like having like a real business meeting where it's like serious, and he's listening to her give him like the feedback, and all of this is like, okay, yeah, this is cool. And then blam.
Like, ah. Just right in the back of the head, just right? Assassinated with the racism.
Oh.
Executed.
Mm-hmm. It just reminds me. I mean, I grew up on military bases. There were a lot of those guys that had Asian wives, and I can tell you, most of those dudes did not speak the language that their spouse did, or even try to. Like. Their spouse was an English speaker, but definitely English is a second language. But like they may have known a few words and phrases, but they didn't try to. And it was very much a terrible stereotype of the military, the white military dude taking on a submissive Asian wife. And I mean, it was just that. I mean, that was just the way it was. I mean, it was gross. But, like, as a child, I didn't know how bad that was. Mm-hmm. It just was the way it was. I mean, because those were the parents of some of my friends. You know, that's just how I knew them.
And it was like that again and again in this movie. Like everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it does start with he's 15 and she's 25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a hard time getting past that right from the jump.
Then later in the movie, I was like, oh, they did a time jump at some point because she says she's 28 and then that would make him 20, like 18. But no, like the trivia says she actually just made a mistake when the actress was giving the dialogue and they just left it in.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And they try to like, because again, that when that happens initially, it's just like, whoa. Like I'm with you. Like, ugh.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Why? This is a love story? Like, I had a really hard time. Like, I almost wanted to just call off the movie at that point. Like, because I watched it today, and I'm like, I was this close to, like, I want to get my money back, and let's call this off. Because, like, it didn't. It made me feel it was creepy.
The movie is 2 hours long at about
2:15,
an hour and 15, hour and 30 minutes into the movie. She's sitting down with one of her sisters and she says, "Do you think it's weird that I hang out with him and all of his other 15-year-old friends?" And I was sitting there and I was like, you know what? I do think it's weird. Uh-huh. And I feel like, you knew it was also weird, so you had to put this in here to make it seem less weird, but it doesn't make it seem less weird. It's weirder.
Because
now I know you know how weird it is, and you're just going to keep going with it. And the movie kept going for another 45 minutes.
but they also lay out the dynamics, the power dynamics in the relationship pretty early on when she says, like, by the time you're 16, you're going to be living in a mansion. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to, you know, you're going to have all this stuff. And when I'm 30, I'm still going to be taking pictures working for somebody else. Like there's this assumption of power that he has that's still weird because he's only 15, mm-hmm. even though he acts far more mature than he is. But acting mature is not maturity.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's also an actor.
He is also an actor, yeah. And he understands that when he speaks to people certain ways, he gets things. He clearly mm-hmm. learned that and just uses it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, that's how the world works.
Yeah, but as a 15-year-old, it's more than just, yeah. I don't know.
There's a lot of weird assumption about the future in this movie, because she's like, well, you're going to be living in a mansion when you're 16. Will he? I don't think so. Why are we selling water beds?
Well, I mean,
the wave of the future.
They were the wave of the future back then.
Well, and I think the movie tries to make it easy on us by like making him so mature and never really showing him in high school after like the beginning mm-hmm. and making her so immature. Like it's easy to forget about. There's bits where it's like, oh man, that's a sweet little meet cute or romance thing that happened. It's like, no way, he's 15. Where they remind you every time.
Like when she has to drive him around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or someone else is like, oh, is he asking you for hand jobs all the time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'll pass that baton to you.
That line of dialogue was perfect.
Nailed it.
It was. It was creepy and weird. But man, that was the perfect dialogue, and the delivery was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I want the entire 2 hours and 15 minutes to just have been a rapper for that joke.
Yeah.
Paul Thomas Anderson's like, I bet I can get away with this for two hours.
I mean, considering some of the other movies he's made, yeah, he that's kind of his MO. What's weird is the nostalgia he has for this time period when he is my age. Like,
so how much of the trivia did you read?
He's 9 months older than me. Okay. He's 51 years old. We're both 51 years old at this point. He was 2 years old when this movie is set.
How much of the trivia did you read?
None.
Okay. So a lot of the shit that happens in this movie is just stories he heard, like mishmash about Hollywood.
Mm.
That's not a surprise, because that's like the first hour of this movie just feels like a mishmash.
Oh, by the way, the trivia on this movie is incredible. Really? That's Philip Seymour Hoffman's son.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
I didn't know that, but he looks just like him.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, of course it is.
Well, who is friends with P.T. Anderson, or was.
Yeah, so the chick is in a band, the Hames.
Uh-huh.
Her sisters are her real sister. Her dad's her real dad.
Yeah. Her family is her real family, and they all have their own real names.
Yeah.
They don't change the actor name with the character name. It's the same name for all of them.
Yeah. PTA apparently directed a bunch of their music videos.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So.
Haim. Mm-hmm. I knew that.
Anyway, the trivia is worth reading. I'm not going to continue because I don't remember most of it, but it's good. That scene with Bradley Cooper, they did not know Bradley Cooper was going to be in the movie. So, like, that take where he comes out and he starts yelling at that kid, that's the first time they see him. Like, nice.
That's pretty great. I mean, I guess that's a way to get a reaction from a kid for meeting a famous person. Like, mm-hmm. you know.
I actually did like that entire sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the fucking truck.
Oh. It was so exciting and anxiety producing.
I know.
That was harrowing. That, like, when it's rolling backwards through the streets, like, that was,
mm-hmm.
I've seen full action movies, like big budget action movies, that I did not feel real fear the mm-hmm. same way I did with that truck rolling backwards through the streets in the 70s. Like, oh my God, what's she going to hit? Is it going to be that mailbox? Yeah. Is it going to be a person? Is it going to be one of these cars coming down the side streets? Like
that she finally parks it, and then fucking what's his face comes down the sidewalk. that whole sequence was really good.
I really enjoyed
that sequence.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
But then. Him and his friends all have gas cans and they're jerking the gas cans off. And I was like, oh, fucking right. He's 15. That was the punchline to every scene.
Right. They almost died.
Also, Libby has pointed out this incredible bit of my wondrousness. John C. Reilly is in this goddamn movie.
Yes, he is. Yeah, it's Herman Munster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard him say like one line. I was like, "That fucking John C. Reilly."
Yeah,
and then he never does anything else.
I know. Yeah, that one got me too. It was like, wait a minute. Like, it's so much so that it almost threw me out of the movie. Like, I kept waiting for him to come back in that sequence.
Mm-hmm. We're doing Wreck-It Ralph now.
It's just baffling to me how weirdly disconnected the movie is from different other points in the movie, like that whole sequence when they're at the show selling waterbeds and then he gets mm-hmm. arrested.
Yeah.
Like
for murder,
but then nothing happens. And then he just leaves
mm-hmm.
and then he just leaves.
Yep.
Like even narratively, I'm not really sure what the point is. Like, I guess that she shows up to get him.
I guess. Yeah. But like, been bad for a long time.
I think this was probably just one of those stories that PTA heard and wanted to shoehorn mm-hmm. it in here.
It's just a weird way to tell a movie.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was nominated for Best Picture.
Yep.
Well, it is set in LA.
He was nominated for Best Director, and this was also nominated for Best Screenplay, I think.
Yeah. So then I started thinking, did I miss a point in here?
You missed the fact that it was jerking off Hollywood.
I didn't miss that part.
But that's why it was nominated.
That was why Mank was nominated. So
sure. Yep.
But it didn't win. What won? Coda?
Yeah, Coda won.
Yeah.
You also have that disconnected scene with Sean Penn and Tom Waits.
Was that disconnected? I feel like that was central to the entire movie.
This is the thing.
I'm not necessarily making a joke here. I feel like that was a critical part of this movie.
How so?
No, I don't think it was.
So you were necessarily making a joke.
I wasn't necessarily making a joke. I mean, that scene, that whole sequence is great because Sean mm-hmm. Penn just plays Sean Penn being fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know that God, that's what so Sean Penn is like, creepy. Just in general. You know that's what he's like.
And love seeing Tom Waits show up places.
Feel it.
Steven Spielberg's daughter was in this movie.
PTA's daughter was in this movie. In that scene, no less. She's the chick sitting next to, what's his face? Gary.
Is Paul Thomas Anderson married to Maya Rudolph?
Yes. I don't think they're married. I think they're just in a relationship, and she has his children. Or they've had children together.
Okay.
I don't think they're married, though.
That's fair.
Can't tie Connie down.
According to IMDb, she is listed as spouse.
That's weird. The trivia didn't... The trivia worded it differently.
And maybe it was just the way... And that may be just how Wikipedia... Or IMDb just classifies things, since it's more kind of an app. Wikipedia refers to her as partner.
Ah.
Since 2001.
Well, good for them.
Fuck, did I read this then? All right. Tony, do you know what baffled me? So in the sequence of scenes with the politician,
yeah,
he calls her to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, as soon as I see that she's meeting two people there, I'm like, okay, I instantly know what this is.
Right.
But they show his boyfriend obliquely at an odd angle, and you never see him straight on. And I was like, that's fucking Aaron Ashmore, and I hate this guy. But it's not Aaron Ashmore. It's just a dude who looks like the Ashmore twins. It's their lost brother. Lost identical Ashmore.
The third Ashmore.
Oh.
Larry Ashmore.
I'm looking up the character.
I feel like the name was Scott, or I made that up completely. So, was that helpful?
They were doing a pinball, right? They were cross-cutting between those two things?
Yes, they were.
Which is another, like, you know, nostalgia. Oh, yeah, pinball is great. Oh, and there's this guy humping the machine.
That guy's name is Joseph Cross.
Matthew.
Yes.
Was the character he played.
Matthew. I feel like I've seen Scott Matthews before.
Apparently I have. He's been in a lot of things. He was in Mank.
Yes, he was in Mank. Actually, I think everything we've seen him in that we've talked about, because he was also in Milk.
Oh, well, wow, actually, he sure was.
Aaron Ashmore was in Milk. But I've also complained about Ashmore, and I probably complained about him in Mank, too. God, I fucking hate that guy.
He's in so much.
Something about his face.
This dude was also in Smallville.
Mm-hmm. With Aaron Ashmore! I actually don't know if Aaron Ashmore was in it or his brother.
Maybe they're the same dude. Maybe...
I don't remember his brother's name, so maybe it's just a way for Aaron Ashmore.
Maybe it's just a way for him to get more loot. He just
more loot.
I'm not Aaron Ashmore. I'm Joseph Cross.
The lesser Ashmore, right? His brother's the shorter one.
Yeah.
Who's that guy's other? What is that guy's brother?
Sean.
Oh, there it is.
Oh. Oh, the Ashmore twins.
Sean is the one that's in the X-Men movies, right? The lesser Ashmore?
Yes. Yeah, he plays Iceman, Bobby Drake.
Oh, Aaron Ashmore was the guy in Warehouse 13.
Right.
Oh.
Jinx.
I think Sean, looking at him, I think Sean is the one that's in The Boys.
I don't know. One of the
is he the one that plays the Deep?
One of them's Lamplighter.
What? The Deep? The Deep's is not the one deep? Of the Ash... No.
Lamplighter.
Oh, it's Lamplighter. That's right. That's
It's one of them.
Yeah.
For sure.
This picture I'm just looking at, Sean, he looks kind of like the dude who plays the Deep. But it's not.
Boys is coming back. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like June 6th. Mm-hmm. Be a fine birthday present.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yep. Guys, I don't know.
What else happened in this goddamn movie that I wanted to talk about? Because I feel like there was...
I guess I felt like the title was like the whole of the movie. Like, pizza would be great until you put licorice on it.
That is a record.
Yeah.
I learned that. It was also the name of a story that was purchased by Sam Goody.
Huh. That makes sense.
My dad had me load many of his records into their moving truck today.
Those are heavy.
They are. He has never played a record in the last 30 years. But he's still got them.
You never know when they're going to come back around.
I do know. It's when it turns on the table.
Right. They spin you right round.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I'm part of some fan groups on Facebook. And I've said more times in the last 3 weeks, the phrase, the worst part of fandom is the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. Cause like some of them are going on tour. Some got new albums out, and just the wankery of some of these people is just holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I won't buy anything. As soon as they started making cassette tapes, I stopped buying music until I could get it on vinyl again. Okay. Okay.
One, no, you didn't. But two, you had to rush to the internet to post that spicy hot take.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe think about where you are in life.
Yeah.
It's like, if they send me a stimulus check, I'm going to burn it. First off, you're not. You won't. You're going to cash that check. That's exactly what you're going to fucking do. You're going to cash the check.
Yep.
But two, think about why you had to come here and say that. That's where you are in life.
And there's nothing quite as bad as being a fan of a band that has changed lead singers. And you enjoy the first lead singer's time in the band and the second lead singer's time in the band. Because 90% of the rest of people just want to bitch about one or the other. And it's almost always the first guy was better. Hey, you know, the first guy left in like 1998. Like, he was with the band for like 8 years. The other guy has been with the band since.
Tony, your real problem is that you get involved with groups. What are you doing?
Yeah. I love groups.
Ew. Why?
There's a consistency to some of the stuff.
The complaining?
Yeah, the things you can complain about.
Oh, the groups. I thought you meant like the band instead of as soloists. No.
Oh, no, no, no. That I get. I don't understand. Why are you in the groups about the things you like?
Because sometimes it's the only way I can get news because the stuff that I like is kind of obscure. So it's harder to find information on.
You know, in the Archon group, how like that's the only way you can get good information about Archon?
Yep.
But for every one piece of information, you have like 99 posts of just dumb nerd shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is not what this is here for. Like, I don't want to police this group, but I don't give a shit about this meme, this nerd meme.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know when the room block opens.
Yep.
And like the, we should have an Archon newsletter. Why? What? What are you not getting from the weekend we do Archon that you need in a fucking newsletter?
Oh, you know the guy that did that's the same one that dresses like the crazy clown who's just an asshole, right?
I don't know who that is.
He's the one that wears the colored contacts. Oh, he's just a dick. I see him a lot because he comes around for Sausage Fest. He gets drinks at our room.
Yeah, our experiences of Archon are very different.
Yep.
I do not have a stationary experience at Archon.
Nope.
I got to wandering around and slapping asses. And
for somebody who doesn't go to panels, you also keep more of a schedule than some people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I got stuff. I got stuff I got to do. I got business to conduct.
Yeah, so that's why.
Well, I mean, that's always the case, right? The fans are the worst part of the fandom.
Yeah.
I think about like so many things I like and it's like, oh man. Oh.
Yep.
But also to take a step back, I am also part of the worst, right? Like I love Star Trek and I know that people don't really like regular folk don't really make Star Trek references all the time, even though I think they are. And like, I have to like constantly push down my inner Star Trek nerd to be, like, or else I would jump in, or whatever. Nor do I really feel necessary. Like, I know what they said wrong, and I want to correct them. Like, I want to slide in with a well, actually, on any number of things.
I don't consider Star Trek fandom. Of the sci-fi, space, fantasy fandom, I do not consider Star Trek the worst, even though they're huge.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, I can be part of that worst crowd.
Oh, you know what I mean? I see. I gotcha.
I, as a fan of things, want to do all those things that you are complaining about. I guess I don't mostly, so maybe that helps.
But yeah. I think part of it for me was living through the Firefly fandom.
Oof.
Cause man, those people.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I watched Firefly as it aired, the 11 episodes. I followed it as it jumped through nights and times and everything. I watched every episode, and I watched Serenity opening weekend. Like, I did all those things. When the Sci-Fi Channel had their thing where they released, they let you watch the other two episodes because they had all 13. I watched the other two episodes that I didn't get to watch. I have the DVDs. The thing is the people that complain about it being canceled, 90% of the people that complain about it being canceled never watched it until it was on some other form of media. And that I just cannot abide. That just annoys the piss out of me. But, you know, after all that, I try not to come down too harshly on things that I don't enjoy, especially if somebody has a great love for it. Like, Star Trek's not my fandom. Mm-hmm. It's just not for me. Doctor Who is not my fandom. I have watched Star Trek things. I have watched Doctor Who things. I realize it's just, these things were not made for me, and that's okay. You go enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It annoys me when people come down on things too harshly. Oh. It's one thing to complain about the thing you like, but as an outsider complaining about the thing I like, then just don't watch it. Just go away.
Right.
You know, if you don't go to these groups, you don't have to listen to that.
It's not a matter of going to the groups. It's just part of the conversations that people have.
If you don't have conversations with the people, you don't have this.
This coming from the guy who goes and looks for arguments on Nextdoor.
I have a very boring job, and people are wrong on the internet.
They are.
That's a recipe for disaster. Okay, let me pull this back to a real discussion, Tony, so we can get off this Firefly bullshit again. It's over, Tony. It's dead.
Are we going to talk about your arguments with people on the electronic cars?
No, we're not going to talk about that.
Oh, I almost slid into one of those when a guy near me at the hospital was saying, like, well, you don't want to get those electric cars. It costs $12,000 to replace the batteries, and you got to do it every 5 years.
Yeah, no, that's not wrong. That's not how that works. But yeah, that's not how that works at all. Anyway.
All right.
So I don't want to just dismiss the movie as me having missed the point. So I did what every reasonable researcher in the world did. I Googled, why is licorice pizza good? Okay. And so the first hit is Roger Ebert's review of it.
Hmm.
Okay. So it's long, and I started reading it, but let me highlight the section I would like to discuss.
All right.
And when I say highlight, I mean read.
Sure. Do it.
We haven't even begun discussing the plot, but then again, the plot isn't really the point. In the simplest terms, Licorice Pizza finds Hames, Alana, and Hoffman's Gary running around the valley, starting various businesses, flirting, pretending they don't care about each other, and potentially falling for other people to avoid falling for each other. One thing, she's 25 and he's 15, and they meet cute at his high school where she's helping the photographers on picture day. What makes this amorphous romance make sense is that it's it's extremely chaste, B, she's sort of stunted at the film start, and C, Anderson wisely establishes early on that Gary has a swagger and intelligence beyond his years. Something's wrong in this paragraph, Raj. something's going on here. Going on here that ever changes his opinion on this later in the text. This is the conclusion of that thought. It works because he feels older.
That's the thing I couldn't get. I thought he pretended to be older, but I never felt he was older.
Yeah, the first 6 or 7 paragraphs of this review is nothing but exactly what Tony said that it was, jerking off about this being set in that location at that time period.
Yeah.
Because this apparently was down the street from where this dude grew up. Well, I remember that time and that place. Ugh.
So I did have to keep reminding myself that he was 15 because the movie did keep like making
trying
me
to
forget.
Trick you.
Uh-huh. And
gaslighting you into thinking he was an adult.
Right. Cause there's even a point where he's like, I don't know, flirting with a girl who's age appropriate for him. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm like, oh, you jerk. No, that was actually the right thing. Like,
Yeah, but if you forget that he's only 15, it does come off as that weird power dynamic that, oh man, that's a creepy dude hitting on.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing that was hard for me to get past, which is going to sound weird coming from a person of size, was the fact that I had a hard time with how everyone treated the chubby kid in 1973. It just felt like they took him more seriously. The girls liked him and were interested in him. And like, that just felt really off to me.
Was Gary the chubby kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
For someone in 1973, in Hollywood in 1973, as an actor in 1973, that, like, it was just kind of a disconnect for me because there weren't a whole lot of chubby kids that you saw on TV and things like that at that time period. It just wasn't a big thing. So it just like that felt off to me.
Did it break your 1970s LA immersion, Tony?
Kinda. It did kinda, yeah. And maybe it was just because I grew up, I mean, I was only two at the time, but I grew up in the time period after, and we watched reruns of the stuff from that era. And like, you just didn't see people like that on television. Mm-hmm. The representation wasn't there for the chubbos. I mean, it was weird. It felt off to me.
Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to tell on people because I am a giant. So, so you know.
I'm fat. I'm just saying, I am fat. I make him look small. Mm-hmm. But it seemed odd. It just didn't make sense to me.
Tony, I am the intersection of fat guy and triathlete, so.
Well, look at you.
I know.
But maybe that's part of the, like, bad nostalgia of the film.
And that could be, yeah. I think bad nostalgia was the thing I got mostly thematically mm-hmm. from the movie.
I mean, the bad nostalgia was he's sad Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, same. Aren't we all?
I didn't know that guy.
No, but he still had good things to make. He still had good art to make. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah, like his probably greatest scene ever in Along Came Polly. We have to go home. I just sharted. Perfect delivery. Powerful scene. Actually, he was really goddamn good in that movie.
I don't know that I've seen that.
He plays like a washed up child actor or something. He's like... paid a film crew to follow him around, make a documentary of himself doing nothing.
Okay, that sounds good.
Really fucking
that sounds good.
The day after his death, so that morning I read about it, like, you know, on the internet, and that afternoon it was his episode of Arthur, where the animated show with little animal people, where he is playing an author. I'm like, oh, this is extra sad today. Did PBS do this on purpose? My kids don't know this is sad.
They did it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he directed a number of music videos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, quick count, 10 or so, just from Haim.
Uh-huh.
A handful from Radiohead, Fiona Apple.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Did he do the good
did
one?
Did he do the video?
I don't believe so. So,
oh my god. Oh, Tony, how could you not fucking no, don't drop it
no,
like that.
No, there's just it his thing jumps around. No, it's not.
Mark Romanek directed that one.
Mark Romanek, huh?
Not a name I recognized.
Me neither, but that guy has had a significant impact on my life.
Indeed.
Romanek. Mark Romanek. He directed 1 hour photo, too.
Oh, my.
And an episode from Tales from the Loop.
Right.
Wow.
A couple commercials. U2. Was there a Lock and Key TV movie before the Netflix stuff?
I don't know. Was there?
I don't think so. He directed the Johnny Cash Hurt music video.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Oh, God. There it is. Fiona Apple Criminal. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, oh, God. The Closer video. Romeo, shut your face.
I don't know, guys. I don't have a whole lot else to say about the movie.
Mm-mm. Because I think that nailed it.
I think PTA fans will probably really enjoy it.
Yes, but I do not enjoy his movies.
I really like Boogie Nights, but...
They are few and far between that I really enjoy. Like, that I really enjoy.
I guess I like Punch Drunk Love.
And that one really wasn't for me. I saw it, and it's another one like this that had really good parts to it, but I didn't enjoy the whole thing. I can say the same thing for The Phantom Thread.
Oh, I didn't care for that.
I didn't care for it.
And I didn't like Magnolia or Inherent Vice. Those weren't
There Will Be Blood.
I like that, all right.
I did like There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, well, it was a more cohesive narrative.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that I more enjoy that one. Boogie Nights I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I do not remember what happened in Boogie Nights, other than what's-her-face on roller skates. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's it.
I like The Master okay as well.
I remember watching it for the podcast, but I cannot tell you a thing about that movie.
I do not remember anything about that movie either. I probably skipped that episode.
Probably.
Sounded like a movie I didn't want to watch.
Deuce pushed us really hard to watch that one.
Oh, good. That was before me then. Perfect.
That was one of the ones where he wanted to come back just to talk about that one.
Mm.
It was in 2012.
Oh.
So, I mean, that was 10 years ago. So.
Yeah. And I do hate remembering things.
Mm. Hate and I'm not very good at. So, I'm talking about myself at this point. Yeah. Yeah. I think this is just another Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Now, yep. Are we doing a drugs movie for 420 or a bye week?
What could we do? What options do we have?
Tony, I thought we were not recording, so I made plans.
Oh, well, if you made plans, then I guess we're not recording.
I didn't really make plans.
Right. You made plans to make plans.
Yeah.
You made plans to have that day off. Oh, that's fine. I got a busy weekend, so.
I mean, I'm also happy to record.
You know what? TBA.
Okay.
If we figure something out in the next couple of days, then
is that the charity we're raising money for?
Yep.
At my college at SEC on the Rate My Professor site, someone has created a professor, Toby Determined, and the one review says they were really excited to take his class, but the last minute they switched out who was teaching it. I was like, brilliant. I don't know which student has done this. But they can get an A in my class. Just let me know.
No kidding. No kidding. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody's doing the large work there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, great.
All right, guys. Let's call it. See you next week or the week after. But if it's the week after, I think we'll be back on Facebook.
Whoa.
Woo.
Our shadow ban ended.
We could do this social network.
Great.
All right. See you guys.